This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
More than 6 million Jewish people were killed in the atrocities of the Holocaust. Many others were also targeted, including gypsies and homosexual people. Each year, on January 27th, a day of international remembrance, marks the liberation of the largest Nazi death camp, Auschwitz-Birkenau, by Soviet troops in 1945. Over the years, many people have visited Auschwitz and other Nazi death camps to educate themselves about what happened and to help prevent such atrocities from ever happening again. A group called the Zen Peacemakers held a Bearing Witness retreat at Auschwitz in the spring of 2010, and we're joined on the phone now by Sayin Remy Jordan, a Zen practitioner from Victoria, BC, who was a participant in the Bearing Witness retreat.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Sayin.
Ah, good to be here, Kevin. Thanks.
Sayin, you write in your online blog, in which the location of which you describe your experiences at the retreat in detail. Many participants attended this retreat because they have a direct connection to the events at Auschwitz, family members that had died or family members that had been part of the SS. However, I do not have those kinds of connections. Sayin, tell us more about your reasons for participating in that retreat.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I guess it's a sort of odd kind of growing up here on the West Coast where, connections, direct connections to that are less permanent than perhaps if I had grown up in Toronto or on the East Coast or, of course, in Europe. For me, it had come out of really the spiritual practice, the Zen practice that I'm part of, where I do, some traditional kind of Zen retreats. And then I've also done sort of these kind of alternative retreats, if you will, in terms of the form of street retreats. I've done a few of those that we've talked about. And I was actually thinking about doing another one of those, and I was chatting with the individual that had led those retreats, and he had suggested that, I'd done two street retreats, and I might consider joining the Zen Peacemakers in the Auschwitz retreat that was upcoming at that time. And I trusted Genro, who had been the leader of those retreats, and I thought, yes, I'll go give that a try.
You described your experience meditating at the so-called selection platform at Auschwitz, and I read that description this morning. I'm wondering if you could tell us about that.
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess first off, it was really, really hot when we were there during a heat wave, and so it was incredibly hot, and you're drinking water in between sits, and it's... the scale of it was something that was just is really hard to wrap your mind around, just how large, it's like 750 meters or so, that's that track. It's so big, and so it's difficult to kind of get your head around that. And then, you're sitting there, and there's kind of this, I guess it's kind of push-pull between getting pulled into the sort of the horror of what took place there, and then kind of this intellectual desire to protect yourself and push back from that. And so you're kind of moving between those two places of pushing back from that and falling into it and kind of trying to find some place in between those two to just sit with it and just bear witness to it and not to pass judgment on it, not to ascribe motives to it.
You reflected on genocide, what you called or described as the pattern of genocide, and wrote on your blog, the pattern existed before the Holocaust. I think of the First Nations and their planned cultural genocide. Tell us more about the wider aspects of this.
Yeah, well, I guess, and that was very much the I guess, part of the context with which brought me to that retreat was sort of this, I guess, honestly, slightly more abstract, but more a broader looking at genocide. And really there, at that retreat, it was very much about that. It was so rooted in that time and that place. But certainly, reflecting on the experience, I couldn't help but think of just the number of genocides that have taken place. You know, I'm 42 now. Just the number that have taken place during my lifetime, and just how many of those have happened, and I guess really looking to have a response that was at least felt to me more authentic than that first response that can so often happen of looking at something like that and saying, well, that's horrible, let that be a lesson, let us never do that again. And trying to really find something that says, well, yes, and that's a very valid response, but at the same time, it is, you know, it seems to be ignoring just the reality of the fact that it's happened multiple times, just within my existence on the planet, let alone through a longer history and period of time. So, you know, it's kind of to find a space that not accept it, because certainly not something that you want to accept or endorse in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it's such a horrible action, but at the same time, to say, well, we'll just stop it, we'll just never let it happen again, seems to fly in the face of as I call it, this pattern, this thing that has certainly happened multiple times during our existence.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
On Sunday, January 8, 2012, more than 1,000 people gathered at a Jewish cemetery in Victoria, British Columbia to stand together against an act of desecration at the cemetery. Toward the end of 2011, a person or persons unknown spray-painted swastikas and a white power symbol and wrote hate statements on 5 of the tombstones. Rabbi Harry Breckner told the gathering, "All of us coming out here and standing together tells us that we will not be silent in the face of hate crime." All over the world, the Nazi death camp Auschwitz has become a symbol of terror, genocide, and the Holocaust. It was established in 1940 in the suburbs of a Polish city that was annexed to the Third Reich by the Nazis. More than 1.1 million men, women, and children lost their lives at Auschwitz. Over the years, many people have visited Auschwitz and other Nazi death camps to educate themselves about what happened and to prevent such atrocities from ever happening again. A group called the Zen Peacemakers held a Bearing Witness retreat at Auschwitz in the spring of 2010. We're joined on the phone by Sayan Remy Jordan, a Zen practitioner from Victoria, BC, who was a participant in the Bearing Witness retreat.
Sayan, tell us about your own reactions to the incident at Victoria's Jewish cemetery.
It's always so sad to see something like that happen, especially to see it happen so close to home. You know, you really hope to have, I guess, more, less of that kind of hate in your community, and not to have that kind of separation between people that really gives rise to that hate. You know, I mean, you don't do that about family members. You do that about, you know, other things. So it's painful to see it here.
What role does society play in the prevention of hate crimes like that?
Well, I guess, you know, if I think about it from the perspective of community, I very much agree that, you know, it's the responsibility of society, the responsibility of community to sort of speak out and to not let something like that happen silently. And they're all the little things that can lead up to something, you know, so it's not just something, you know, there's a bit of graffiti, there's the statements that people can make, the racist language people can use, you know, various forms that can lead up to it. So speaking out, I think, is a really important component of that.
You're a longtime Zen practitioner. What role does the individual play in the prevention of hate crimes, and perhaps from the perspective of a Zen practitioner?
Well, I guess from the perspective of a Zen practitioner, you know, something that's often said is that it's, you know, it's incredibly hard to change yourself, let alone to try to change anyone else. So the the best thing that you could do is to really work on yourself and your reactions and your behavior, and really to have a to try to bring as much clarity to those actions. And then I think, you know, the next kind of circle out from that is to really, you know, focus on your children if you have children, and to really look at, you know, what is environments and what's the support and how are you raising those children. And that's the, those would be the first pieces out. But, you know, it really starts with very much individual action and what are your actions and what are you responsible for.
How did your participation in the Bearing Witness retreat back in 2010 and your experiences there at Auschwitz change you as an individual?
Well, I guess, you know, a big change was I was really struck by how people could hold up Auschwitz and say, see this horror that happened, and that was proof that, you know, we shouldn't have barriers between people, and we should have connections between people, and we shouldn't, you know, we should avoid warfare, and we should, you know, not do this again. And people were also held up this experience of Auschwitz and said, well, see, this justifies why we should have an army and we should be able to defend ourselves and we should use violence to protect ourselves. And so I felt it very jarring to have both of those kind of conclusions being drawn from the same kind of emotional event. And it really gave me a new insight into seeing how you could use something like that to push different kinds of ends, and to some extent the raw emotion of that almost made you less critical of kind of looking at what was then being tacked on to that.
Sayin, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I guess I would just underscore that community focus on children and raising children, the parents' involvement and the community's involvement on that, because I think that's, you know, if we are going to make shifts around, you know, hate crimes and genocides in the future, I think that's where that shift comes from and originates from.
Thank you for taking the time to join us again. It was much appreciated.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate being here.
Sayin Remy Jordan is a Zen practitioner in Victoria, British Columbia. You can find his blog online at sayinremyjordan.blogspot.com. The International Center for Education about Auschwitz and the Holocaust was created by a decision of the Polish government in June 2005. You can find the center online at auschwitz.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.